So I'm going to continue this week talking about our calling and pointing out the fact that you are called. I'm called. We are all called as Christians to something. And I know that prior to me getting serious about trying to follow God and by coming to this church, when I thought about people with a calling, you know, in my mind, it would go to someone who is in a full-time ministry, a pastor, a music leader, or something like that. They're called, but just average regular people aren't. Well, I'm here this morning, and I want everybody to know that we're all called. And I'm sure that most of you realize that, but there's a couple of things that I want to touch on from last week we talked about. And one of them was that you have to clear the way for God's calling. I know that a lot of you probably feel this at times, but the world has a way of trying to clutter up our lives and our minds so that it distracts us from doing the things that God's called us to do. So we have to clear the way for God's calling. When we realize and realize God's call, we got to be willing to answer that call. And we also have to be able to discern God's call or understand his voice in all that noise. This morning, I'm gonna come at it from a little bit different angle. I know it's a little bit different for me to get up, stand up here and talk to you guys than it is most people in most churches because it's not their family, and you know maybe there are some of their family there, but their family doesn't make up as large of a percentage of the church. So, you know, this morning, not so much as coming at it from a pastor to the church or as a son to a father or a father to a kid or from that angle. But this morning, I want you guys to understand that I'm coming at this from the perspective of somebody who is called by God, and I'm presenting this message to somebody who is called by God because you're all called by God. And I want you to feel this message this morning. So, and I want everybody in here to know that if you're a follower of Christ, God has a calling for you. You've been chosen and you've been given specific gifts for a reason. You've been called. Paul wrote to the Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 1. He said, "Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you've been called by God." We've been called by God, and we've been called to live a life worthy of that calling. What does that mean? And I think that an easy way to explain it to most adults is to help folks realize and remember that church isn't just an add-on. No, we have our jobs that we have to do. We have family to take care of. You know, we have hobbies that we do. We travel. And then for most people, when all of that stuff doesn't get in the way, we have church when we're not too busy. But I want you all to know that as people who are called of God, who are the church, who don't just go to church, that we are the church. So how do we overcome the distractions of the world, the discouragement that we get sometimes, the mornings where we wake up late and nobody's taking a shower when they should have last night, and we just want to throw our hands up and say, you know what, I'm not going today. How do we overcome that discouragement, the fatigue, the exhaustion, the things that the enemy throws in our way that try and distract us from the calling that God has in our life? How do we overcome the self-doubts that we have in our worthiness of the calling? How do we overcome the spiritual opposition that the enemy throws at us? How do we keep our passion for serving those around us in the church year after year after year? And one way that we can do that is to remember that we're called to it. It's our calling. So what am I called to? Most people think of your job and like, well, and I can understand that. Or a mission, you know. But I want you to know this morning that that God has called you to salvation. First and foremost, before God calls you to a job, before he calls you to serve somebody around him, he calls you to him. He calls you to himself. Jesus said he didn't come to call the righteous, but he come to call sinners to repentance. He called us to be transformed, and we shouldn't lose sight of that. Not only has God called us to salvation, that's the first step, but God has also called each and every one of us who proclaim Christ as our Savior, he's called us to sanctification, which means to be set apart. He's called us to be set apart, and in order to be set apart, we have to do things a little bit differently. We have to live our lives a little bit differently. And once we start going down that road, that's when God calls us to service. And that is to service to those around us. He'll take and use our gifts and the talents that he's given us. And he'll use his church in the world and in the lives of the people that are around them. So for some people, this may be very specific. And for some people, that this calling might be a little bit more generalized. Some people are called to share their musical talents in the church. Some people are called to go and serve to sit in. Some people are called to minister specifically to children. Some people are called to teach. Some people are called to all different things. But I want to point out some scriptures here. It's in Colossians verse 3. Chapter 3, verse 17. Paul wrote to those believers there, he said, "And whatever you do, whether it in word or in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." So when God calls us to service, we need to do so in a fashion that honors him. We need to give it our all. We need to do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. So some of us have the question, what's my calling? And for a long time, I had the same question. How do I know if I'm ready for that calling? Might be a question that you're asking yourself. How do I know when I know enough, or when I'm good enough, or when I don't feel ready? How do I know that I need to step into that calling? And I think that if you are asking yourself any of those questions in your walk, I'll let you know this morning that you're not alone, because ever since the Bible was written, people have been searching out these answers. Another letter that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 says, "Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential, and not many were of noble birth." So this should be encouraging to the everyday normal people like me, who are untrained, who feel unqualified, who at times feel unprepared for what God has called you to do. But I think that we should always remember, I know I always remember when I feel this way, the words of one of my mentors who shared with me over and over that we always have to remember that God doesn't call the prepared, but God prepares those that he's called. All you have to do is just open your Bible and look at some of the stories. Noah's a good example. He was a drunk. God used him. He used him to lead a people. Abraham, he was old. He thought he'd never be able to have kids, God was able to use him. Jacob, a liar. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers and abused. Moses, when we look at the stories about Moses, he was a murderer. He had a stutter, all these things, but God still used him. Rahab was a prostitute. I know we were talking some this morning about prostitution in the Sunday school. God used her. Jeremiah and Timothy, both of them were kids or young people. A lot of people said they were too young, but God can use you. David, murderer, adulterer, God used him. John the Baptist was a sketchy character. He lived in the wilderness, ate bugs. But none of these things matter, because when you're walking in God's calling, he will use you to further his kingdom. Peter, the rock, he denied Christ. After Christ's death, one of the most on fire people, I think, who was definitely filled with the Spirit of Holy Spirit, he denied Christ, but God used him. Paul, some say would say he's a murderer, and I think if we look at Jesus's definition of if you've done this in your heart, you've done it in actuality. In his persecution of the Christians, I would say that he was a murderer, and God used him in a big way. I mean, we're reading some of his letters to the church right now. totally flipped the script with him. Lazarus was dead, and God used him. I want you guys to understand this morning that when you feel untrained, when you feel unqualified, when you feel too small to make a difference, I want you to know that God can use you and he will use you. God chooses unlikely people to accomplish his purposes so his power can be made manifest in their weakness. The least likely ones seem to be the ones that God tends to use. Let's look at some scripture here in 1 Samuel. We were looking in this book last week. This is a few chapters past that, though. We're in chapter 16 right here, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 13. It says there, "The Lord said to Samuel, 'How long will you mourn for Saul, since I've rejected him as king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and be on your way. I'm sending you to Jesse of Bethlehem.'" Not Jesse of Grapevine, Jesse of Bethlehem. "I've chosen one of his sons to be king." But Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears about it, he'll kill me." The Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I've come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Invite Jesse to the sacrifice and I'll show you what to do. You're to anoint for me the one I indicate." Samuel did what the Lord said. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, "Do you come in peace?" Samuel replied, "Yes, in peace I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw Eliab and thought, "Surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Don't consider his appearance or his height, for I've rejected him. The Lord doesn't look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Then Jesse called Abinadab, and he had him pass in front of Samuel. But Samuel said, "The Lord hasn't chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had 7 of his sons pass before Samuel, but Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen these." So he asked Jesse, "Are these all the sons you have? "They're still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He's tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We'll not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. And the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. When we look at this scripture here in this portion of Samuel, I think it reinforces the idea that sometimes God chooses the ones that the world seems to believe are the least likely. You have to understand a little bit, too, about their culture at this time. So there was very much like a family hierarchy going on in these people at this time. So the eldest one was always the one that got the biggest and the best of everything. Everything went to the eldest person. He got the double portion, the birthright. The world would have had him be the one that take on this responsibility. But God picked the lowest, the youngest, the smallest, the one that they thought would surely not be the one that he didn't even bring to the gathering. The one that he left out tending to the sheep is the one that God chose. And I can't help but kind of see a little bit of my story in this story. Anytime I read some of these Old Testament stories, we're talking about David and Jesse. We have David, and I'm Jesse David, and we have a David middle name here, too. I'm not sure how all those are tied together, but I'm pretty sure there's a link some way. But it's interesting to me to think about it, you know. I think about what a mess I was in when God called me. In fact, at times I still find myself a mess. And I'm thankful that God's not done with me. I think that in some ways, too, you know, I see some parallels with other stories, too. Because in the same way that I see myself in this story, I read other stories in the Bible, the story of Jonah. And I see some similarities and some parallels there. Jonah ran from God. God said, "Hey, I got something for you. And he run from him. I did that for a long time too. I run from God and his calling. But thankfully, God never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He never forgets about us. And that's part of the reason why I'm up here this morning sharing this message with you guys. You know, when I think about how my life was when I first came to a true understanding and started pursuing a relationship with Christ, it didn't look anything like what you would expect the life of somebody who is preaching messages on Sunday morning looks like. And I still come up short way too regularly. But slowly, day after day, God is working on me. And if we allow God to work on us and we're deliberate and intentional about seeking his will and his word in our lives, day after day, week after week, month after month, over time, we become a little bit more and a little bit more like Christ. And through this process of sanctification, he equips us for his calling that he has on our life. So God didn't call me, I don't think, immediately to be a pastor. First, he called me to himself. If God would have called me to be a pastor when I first walked through the church, I would have pulled a Jonah and took off and run the other way. Over time, though, God has used the experiences in my life, the people that he's put in my path, and he's helped to grow me spiritually and help to grow me to where I'm at today. And it's only through his grace and his mercy that I'm up here speaking to you this morning. So I say all that to say, you know, the calling has been a curveball for me, my specific calling. And it's because, you know, it was a curveball for me. I never pictured myself doing this. I was way too messed up. But I want you all to remember too, when you feel like that, you feel that tug, that calling of God to do something, and you feel like that you're not equipped for it, remember that God doesn't necessarily call those that are already prepared, but he will prepare those that he calls. So I'm sure in all this, people have laughed, people have criticized or been concerned about things, and I'm sure there have been some who said, well, watch this train wreck happen. Sometimes, though, the criticism that comes from people, it is a confirmation of your calling from God. The attacks of the enemy, the curveballs, the trips, the snares that are put in your path to try and trip you up and make you feel unworthy of that calling, those are confirmation in your life that you're on the right track. What does the enemy want? He wants you not walking in the will of God. So if he can put things out there that distract you from that. So in all of this, I think about it. When I was called, I was broken. I was a mess. And at times I still am, but I'm so much different today. And this is only through the power of God working in my life and in his calling. And when I think of all Christ has done for me, he died on the cross. How can I not honor him and walk in his calling? And I think it should be the same for each and every one of you. I don't know where God has brought you from or where he's bringing you out of or what God has in store for you or what his calling on your life is, but you too are being called by God this morning. And I want to encourage you to live a life worthy of that calling. So there's a couple of aspects of this calling that we all have on our life that we should consider. And one of them is that our calling, it will cost you. Your calling will cost you something. When God called Saul on the road to Damascus, he was blinded by the light. Saul didn't know what God had in store for him. God didn't tell him in advance. God spoke to him, one of his brothers, though, Ananias. In Acts chapter 9, verses 15 and 16, it tells us, "The Lord said to Ananias, 'Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I'll show him how much he must suffer for my name.'" He told Ananias, "Go and tell him that, and I'll show him how much he'll suffer for my name." Paul then suffered greatly for the name of Christ and sharing that message. It's not always going to be easy. Paul was killed by Christ. They cut his head off, some say. There's not a whole lot of for sure documentation to that, but he was definitely killed for Christ. I say that not to scare anybody or steer them away, but know that it's not always going to be easy to stand up for what's right. And God has chosen you. You're God's chosen instrument in some kind of context, in some kind of way in your life. Maybe it's maybe God is going to use you in your family. And I would argue that for sure, if you're willing, God is going to use you in your family. Maybe God's going to use you in your office or at your place of work. I've experienced that, seeing God move and work through people that I work with and in their workplace. Maybe it's in your neighborhood. Maybe God has plans to use you to bring salvation, to help bring salvation to the person who lives next to you. Maybe that's by inviting them over to dinner this evening. I don't know. You have a calling. You may be God's chosen instrument at your gym, the most inopportune of places and things. But the moment you step into your calling seems to be the when you step out of your comfort zone. It's not always going to be easy to step into that. And more than likely, it's most of the time going to be a little bit uneasy. In all this, though, so sometimes we're going to experience pain as Christians. And I think that when we do experience struggles and pain, I think that that is sometimes a catalyst that God uses for us to fully step into our calling. God will use those experiences in our life to touch somebody else when they're in that same struggle. God will use your struggles and the things that you've been through as someone else's roadmap, if you'll just let him. It's not easy. At times we'll be rejected, we'll be misunderstood. If you stand up for Christ, there's going to be times where you might be laughed at, and you'll definitely face spiritual attacks. But sometimes that's a big part of our public calling. Serving Jesus, there's this dichotomy that goes along with it. Serving Jesus is a gift, biggest blessing that it could be. One of the most fulfilling things that I've experienced in my life is serving other people. God, he returns that effort to us hundredfold and just fills us up. It's a blessing. It's a gift for us to serve Christ. But over here, it can be a grind too. It's also difficult sometimes. It's difficult to get up and keep going forward. Living your call it can be fulfilling, you know. Seeing that spark lit in somebody, seeing somebody's life turn around because of them starting to follow Christ, can be fulfilling. It can also be a burden, though, living your call. Ministry can be exhilarating. You know, when you see smiling faces and you see that you're making an impact in the community around you, That is exhilarating. That's fulfilling. It can also be exhausting when you're up at who knows in what time in the evening gathering up school supplies and putting them together to be that instrument for God. That can be exhausting. And I'll say that that's okay. It's going to be like that. Because if following Jesus isn't both the greatest gift that you have ever received, but also one of the heaviest weights that you carry in your life, I'll tell you that you're probably not doing it right. It's not easy. God never promised it would be. The biggest enemy of our calling is at times comfort. We all need comfort and we need to be at peace at times. So I don't want to be misunderstood there because we do need that peace. And ultimately that peace will come from God. But we should never sacrifice our calling on the altar of peace. We should never sacrifice what God has called us to do in order to have that peace, or in order to, because of some of the other things that we had talked about. Because that calling at times, it'll sustain us, it'll carry us, it'll keep us going. We look at some of the examples of Paul there and say, man, that dude went through the ringer. How did he endure? How did he withstand all of that? He was tortured, he was beaten with, you know, stoned, he was in prison, he was whipped, he was bit by a snake, he was beaten and left for dead. And he got up And he went on to the next town and he said, let me tell you about my Jesus. He was faithful. He was abandoned. He was betrayed. He was falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned. But he persevered. How did he persevere when so many fell away? And I'll tell you, it wasn't because he was competent. It was because he was called. And he was staying true to his calling. In Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14, it says, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. He kept the faith. He finished his race. I'm called, and you're called. And if you already know this, maybe you just need to reclaim that calling. If you don't know what that calling is, if you don't know Christ, maybe you need to pray about it this morning. Maybe you need to ask God to help you to figure that out. And maybe you know that you've been called, but you've just been away a little bit. You've been distracted. You've been, distracted by some of the other things in life. Maybe you've been away and you just need to walk more closely with him or walk in his calling. Because I'll tell you, once God has put that calling on your life, his gifts, his call, it can't be withdrawn. Romans chapter 11, verse 29 says, for God's gifts and his call can never be withdrawn. It's irrevocable. It can't be repealed or annulled or withheld or withdrawn like so many of the things that the world has these days. There's always that cancellation clause in the contracts. But it's not that way with God. I want you to encourage everybody this morning that your calling, it's yours to reclaim. I think I'm called to it, and I think that you all are called to something too. I'll ask that you all stand as we get ready to close. I want everybody that's in here that's standing up this morning, I want to know that you're called. You're called to salvation. You're called to be sanctified, and you're called to serve God and to serve those around you. I want to encourage you not to let the world talk you out of your calling. We're all called to be the light of the world, a light on a hill. We constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you. May our God make us worthy of his calling on our lives. Please join me in a prayer.